This is All of It. I'm Tiffany Hansen in for Allison Stewart. Thanks so much for joining us on this beautiful and nice warm Monday. On today's show, we will talk about how you can support victims of sexual assault. We'll preview tonight's Get Lit with All of It book club. And we want to know what you're reading as well and what you're listening to. We'll talk books and with producer Jordan Loff and podcasts with critic Nick Kwa. That's the plan. So let's get started with Priya Krishna, author of Priya's Kitchen Adventures. If you're a foodie, you probably know who Priya Krishna is. In the culinary world, she's pretty much a household name. She's a food reporter for the New York Times. You may have seen her on their YouTube channel, where she takes us behind the scenes in famous restaurants, bodegas, and pizzerias. Or maybe you have her best-selling cookbook about Indian-American food called Indian-ish. Now, Priya is sharing her love of food with a younger audience. Her new cookbook, Priya's Kitchen Adventures, teaches how to cook international cuisine. She offers recipes from Greece, Mexico, Japan, China, all the countries that she traveled to as a kid. Priya's Kitchen Adventures, a cookbook for kids, is out tomorrow. And with us now is the author and New York Times food reporter, Priya Krishna. Hi, Priya. Welcome to All of It.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
And Priya and I are calling out our young listeners. We want to hear from you. What's your favorite food to make in the kitchen? Maybe also parents, caregivers, what do you want to teach your child about how to cook? Where to start? Ask us some questions. Well, actually, ask Priya the questions, not me. 212-433-WNYC. You can also text us at that number, 212-433-9692. We're on all of the socials at All of It WNYC. Priya, so I mentioned that you did a lot of traveling as a youngster. So talk to us about that, first of all, because that's really where this cookbook started.
Yes. So my mom worked in airlines, and any child of like pilots or flight attendants will remember this, you know, basically back in the day, and I think now to a certain extent, if you work for the airline, you get perks for you and your family. So you can get on a flight if there is space. But what that means in reality is you show up at the airport and you're running from gate to gate, just looking for a flight where there might be 4 open seats. So you don't know where in the world you'll be traveling to, whether you'll need a ski suit or whether you'll need a bathing suit. And you don't know whether your seats are going to be together, whether you'll all get seats at all. And so it was a very fun and very chaotic childhood in which, you know, I basically grew up at airports.
And an adventurous childhood.
Yes.
Did it make you adventurous food-wise, do you think?
It definitely shaped my love of food. I don't think I would be in the position that I'm in right now if it weren't for those travels. I feel like I would land in these new countries. Things would feel unfamiliar. The language would feel unfamiliar, but the food was always, for me as a kid, such an easy way in to the culture. And I just fell in love with certain dishes. Onigiri in Japan, dumplings in China, pesto in Italy. I just like fell head over heels for, it was like I was falling in love again and again and again in every country we visited, and then only to come home and realize we can make these dishes. We don't actually need to travel. We can just do that in our own kitchen and, you know, become more curious eaters and people. So it was so hugely influential on where I am now.
You mentioned your mom. She was in the airline industry. She is also the co-author of your last cookbook, Indian-ish. Yeah. I'm wondering, as a kid, what do you remember most about your time in the kitchen with her?
My mom and I had a really complicated relationship, have a very complicated relationship. I think it's really hard when you're an immigrant and your kid is growing up in American culture. And how do you find connection, especially when you are very different from your daughter? My mom and I are very different. Food was really one of the things we had in common. I remember every night I would do my math homework sitting on the kitchen island while she cooked because I just liked watching her cook. I liked being given little tasks like washing the cilantro or chopping the green beans for dinner. It was a neutral zone. It was a place where it felt like the stakes were a lot lower. There's something about doing like menial tasks like watching rice that just makes, I think, conversation a little bit easier. It was really crucial for our relationship. I feel like the like axis of our relationship has always been food, and that was true when we wrote Indianish together. It's true today.
Well, food, cooking, being in the kitchen together can be a way for a lot of people to find connection with someone in a way that they might not otherwise be able to.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like, in the same way that they say, like, you can have really deep conversations in the car because you're not looking directly at each other, it's sort of like doing another activity really allows you to have sometimes more deep conversations because it doesn't feel as intense. It feels like you're working towards a common goal.
Kids and caregivers, parents, are you in the kitchen together? Do you have a favorite dish you like to cook? Is there something you'd like to learn to cook? Call us 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. You can also text us at that number, and you can reach out to us on all of the social medias at all of it WNYC. Young listeners, we know, I can remember as my when my kids were growing up, they had a favorite dish that they gravitated to. They always wanted to make that. My youngest son always wanted to make cobbler, fruit cobbler of any kind,
Nice.
right? It's kind of easy. You crumble the stuff on top and it works, and it usually turns out okay, edible. Put some ice cream on it, you're pretty good. I'm wondering what you remember about the first dish that you and your mom cooked together. Or was there something you went to over and over again that you asked her to help you with?
Yes, there are two dishes that come to mind. First, is I called it green spaghetti because that's what it was called in the cookbook that we bought. But I was gifted a kid's cookbook and I immediately saw a recipe for spaghetti, but green. And I was like, holy cow, I've only known spaghetti with red sauce. What is this spaghetti with green sauce? And that is how my mom and I first tasted pesto. And we fell in love with pesto. And to this day is one of our favorite sauces to eat, to riff on. And we made it over and over again. And we discovered, oh, you can add a little bit of lemon. It changes things. We can substitute the basil for a little bit of arugula. We can use pecorino instead of Parmesan cheese. There's so many, you can add different kinds of, you can add pistachios instead of pine nuts. And that recipe we made over and over again in so many different ways. And the second thing we made was every year we would bake my birthday cake together. We weren't big bakers at all. But there was this one Betty Crocker chocolate cake recipe that we both loved. And that was our tradition, was to do that cake in that exact same way. We never changed the recipe. It remains to this day probably my perfect cake. It's just a dark chocolate cake with dark chocolate ganache. And we'd garnish it with like rose petals from the garden. And it was perfect.
I found that, talking about pesto, for example, I found that cooking together really helped my kids become more adventurous because they were involved, specifically around green things. If I was alone in the kitchen making it, I might use it as an opportunity to sneak in something that I felt was maybe a little bit better for them, like some spinach in my pesto. But I'm wondering if you think that that experience cooking with your mom at an early age made you more adventurous.
I would like to think that being an open and curious and empathetic eater makes you an open, curious, empathetic person. Like, to me, it just feels like those things are interlinked. Like, if you're more open-minded in the kitchen, I think it translates to being more open-minded generally. Of course, that's not always the case. We have people who, love tacos but are anti-immigration, but I'd like to think that the more diverse a palate we have at a younger age, the more open and curious and accepting we are of what feels different
You've
from
written,
us.
yeah, you've written a lot for adults. This book, again, it's Priya's Kitchen Adventures. It's for kids. I have a question about, I guess, the process of both writing for kids versus writing for adults, and also not, and not just the like, don't let the kids use the sharp knives, but what is different when you're thinking about kids cooking versus grown-ups cooking?
It's a really interesting question because I think when I started out, I thought that there was a difference between the two. And I think the more I got into the book and started talking to kids, I worked with kids on this book, the more I realized actually there's not. I don't think there should be this huge difference between a kid recipe and an adult recipe. Here's how I think a kid recipe. Here's the definition for me. It doesn't require a lot of special equipment or specialized knife skills. It is inclusive. It is empowering. It is choose your own adventure. Gives kids options. Allows them to make choices along the way. And above all, it is doable and accessible, but it does not dumb things down because they are a kid. And, as I was writing the recipes and realizing, oh, I need to communicate in a clearer way because a kid doesn't know what folding something in means or what saute onions till translucent means, I was like, you know what? Adult recipes could be a lot clearer too. A lot of adults don't know what either of those things mean. A lot of adults don't want recipes with that require complicated knife skills and washing a ton of dishes. A lot of adults want recipes that are empowering, that allow them to make choices. So I feel that writing recipes for kids has made me a much better adult recipe developer because you realize that we assume that, like, oh, we have to talk clearer to these kids because they're kids. It's like, no, everyone values clearer communication. Everyone values more streamlined recipes. Everyone values, not having to do 12 dishes and figuring out a way to make it all using two dishes instead. But for so long, I think we've defined kid friendly in a much different way as whitewashed, dumbed down, very simplistic for the sake of simplistic. And I think we need to change that.
You mentioned knife skills. We got a text that it just says knife skills, exclamation point. I'm wondering, and you do go through some sort of basics in the book, not just around knife skills, but when is it too early to talk to kids about how to use a knife properly? What does that look like for kids at various stages and ages? And also, I can remember as a kid, we had one knife. We had a, this we didn't have the, we had one serrated knife and we had one quote unquote sharp knife. So there's varying levels of equipment that people have access to as well. So if you could just talk about knife skills, we got a lot of interest in knife skills.
Yeah, no, that's a very, very good question. I have friends who are parents who bought their kids. They are basically these serrated plastic knives that are pretty safe for kids, and they gave them to their kids as young as 4 or 5 years old. And just, to chop very simple things, to cut a boiled egg in half, to cut through some herbs. I think that the earlier we can get kids comfortable with a knife and not view a knife as this big scary thing, I think the better. And I think now we have the tools to do that. In the book, I always recommend that a serrated paring knife is a really good place to start because it's a small knife. It's not like a big bulky knife, so it's good for kid hands. But because of the serrated edges, it allows you to cut through things, but it's not as sharp as a big serrated knife where, you just prick your finger on that and you're bleeding. I feel like those small serrated paring knives are really, really, really good places to start. And I just think that like the earlier we can get kids comfortable with these basic kitchen tools that, yes, are unsafe in many ways and can be dangerous, but like to view them as safe when used properly and to be empowered by them, I think the better. But I would definitely start with those plastic serrated knives. I think they're fantastic. As soon as I saw my nephew owned one, I was like, this is brilliant.
We're talking with Priya Krishna. Priya's Kitchen Adventures is out tomorrow. Priya, we're going to talk about some recipes here in just a minute.
Okay.
First, I want to tell our listeners you can join this conversation. Are you someone who is just getting started in the kitchen? Are you a young person who has some interest in cooking, in food? You can text us. We know you're on spring break. 212-433-9692. You can also call that number, 212-433-9692. Caregivers, parents as well. We did get a text. My son was a picky eater until he started helping to season the foods as we prepared them. He likes them pretty spicy. We taste as we go and decide if the dish needs more top, middle, or bottom flavors. We'll ask you about that in a second. He likes finding recipes on the internet to try as well. That's from Marla in New Jersey. You can text us, 212-433-9692, with your recipes, and we'll get to some of Priya's recipes as well. We're going to take a quick break and get back to all of it in just a minute. This is All of It. I'm Tiffany Hansen, and for Allison Stewart, we're talking with Priya Krishna, cookbook author, New York Times food reporter, about her new book, Priya's Kitchen Adventures, a cookbook for kids. It's out tomorrow. Priya, first of all, I want to play a little audio for you before we dig into some recipes here. Last week here at WNYC, it was Bring Your Kids to Work Day. Since we knew you were going to be joining us, we talked to some of the kids that were here about their favorite foods to cook. We have Leo from Portland.
My favorite type is probably shrimp tempura sushi. Well, you have to prep the rice first, then you have to wet the seaweed. Then you have to like put your ingredients on the seaweed and stuff, and then roll it up and then chop it.
So that's Leo. You know, Priya, you have a Japan section in the book. I had a question for you actually about sushi because I feel like it's such a great tactile thing to be able to do, roll those maki rolls together. You have a recipe in there for salmon rice bowl. So talk to us just a little bit about why you chose the recipes you did in the Japanese section.
Yeah, my recipe is actually it's for onigiri, and it is great because it is a really good introduction to those flavors, the seaweed, rice, seafood. But in my opinion, it's a little bit easier and more manageable to shape than sushi. I really love, when I was making that with kids, I loved how much they enjoyed shaping the rice into a triangle, wrapping the seaweed, decorating it with sesame seeds. Like it really does feel more like a craft project than cooking. And the other recipes in the Japanese chapter, you've got a ramen. So many kids love ramen. They love slurping noodles. And, it was so exciting to give them the feeling of making like restaurant quality ramen, but in their own kitchens in one pot and getting to top it with their favorite toppings, whether that's corn or scallions or a boiled egg. And then I have an udon recipe too, because I think, we got to have multiple noodle recipes in
We
there.
gotta,
We just have to. And then there's a soba recipe because we got to have another, we have to cover all of my favorite noodles. But I love Japanese food. I found that so many kids were so drawn to so many, like Japanese food is very, very visual. They're like kids love the salty seaweed in like an onigiri. Those recipes were some of the most popular, and I think for good reason. Japanese food's delicious.
Yeah, you have you mentioned the onigiri, right? The salmon rice balls. Are there other non-fish, things that you can throw into those that might be yummy?
Yeah, oh my gosh, you can put in pickled vegetables. You can put in, there are some that have teriyaki chicken that you can buy. There are some that have let's see, you could put like a cooked vegetable in there. The possibilities are sort of endless. If you can smush rice around it, you can use it as a filling.
All right, Priya, prepare yourself. We have Zoe in Brooklyn. Hello, Zoe.
Hi.
Do you have a recipe you want to share, or did you have a question?
Don't really have a question, but I have a recipe, like, with, like, ice soup, like, ginger lemon. You just pour the ginger on the bottom, and you pour water, put a lemon inside, and let them freeze it in the freezer for, like, a couple days.
Okay. And then what do you do with it?
Then you basically just put them in water, like you want, and then put normal ice cubes if you want.
Nice.
I love that.
That's a good idea, right, Priya? Yeah.
That sounds so refreshing.
That does sound refreshing. Thank you, Zoe. Priya, we have a text. My son was using a Cuisinart by the time he was 4. And a mandolin by the time he was 6. Now he's almost 14. He's making things like beef Wellington and other complicated dishes. I can remember my son that was really interested in cooking, making, what is that, fondant? That really thick frosting stuff that you put
over? Yeah, fondant.
When he was like 6 years old. So if you have a child like this that is really, really into it, what's the best way to, like, just keep plugging their interest, do you think? Is it recipe after recipe or?
Yeah, I think buy them cookbooks, you know, and like and help them to, you know, find out what techniques they are most interested in and buy them cookbooks that will help with that. You know, there's one of the things I like to do in my book or that I do in my book is if you like a particular cuisine, I've got a list of like 4 cookbooks that you can buy. So say you read the Italy section, you're like, oh my God, my son loves making fresh pasta. I really want him to go on this pasta journey. There are cookbooks that will help you do that. If your kid loves making onigiri and wants to make all kinds of other Japanese foods and sushi, there's books to do that. So I think it's just about identifying, okay, like they can do all of these things. What are the techniques they want to learn? What are the cuisines they're interested in? And just like getting them books to help them like hone those passions. Mm-hmm. But that's so awesome. I wish I knew how to make beef Wellington by the time I was 6. Gosh, that's amazing.
You know, I wonder what you think about shopping for ingredients with kids, farmers market, supermarket, wherever you go to look for what you need in your recipe, it can be part of the process.
Oh, 100%. I think that's such a great, I'm glad you brought that up because I think that the more kids feel involved in the process, like I think one caller said that like, you know, her kid is very hands-on and in seasoning the dishes. The more they're involved in every stage of the process, the more invested they are in the final product. And I think the more open-minded that they will be and the more excited they'll be to try the thing. So I think the more you can build that investment at every stage, you know, the better off you'll be.
We have a text that's sort of in this vein here. Growing up, my mom taught me and my sister what different herbs looked like, smelled like, fresh and dry. She played a game with herself at every restaurant, trying to pick out the individual spices and herbs in any dish. My kids know herbs and spices too regularly. My son in Colorado has dried hot peppers from my garden. So I guess, you know, and I can remember, you know, you get the little pot of basil from the grocery store and you can start growing it. Then you're making your own, you know, then you're making your own pesto at home. So yeah, I feel like that's a good introduction. So one of the spices that I think will be familiar to folks who are interested in Mexican cuisine, and you do have a section on Mexico in your book. You know, it's not just, we're not talking just tacos here, right? But cilantro was the herb I was thinking of.
Yep.
So what else besides tacos? You have tostadas in your book.
I have tostadas. I have elotes, which are delicious Mexican street corn. I have watermelon agua fresca, which is very refreshing. I have pozole, which is like, it is the pozole recipe in there I make on the regular. It is like herby and, you know, garlicky and chickeny and delicious. It's so, it's like, if my kid made this for me, I'd be thrilled.
And there's lots of great chopping opportunities with Mexican cuisine too, right? All of the nice fresh stuff that you can put on top. Great way to hone in on the knife skills. I want to talk a little bit about the difference between baking and cooking. We got a text here. My mother taught me fractions through measuring ingredients for a cake. But baking is because of not just the like precision that's required with those measurements. There's a lot of ways that baking is different from cooking. So talk to us about that.
Yeah. And to be honest, like I am one of the reasons I write the books I do is I'm not a big baker. I don't like measuring. I don't like the precision required. In the book, I do note, though, you know, that baking is less about adding whatever you want and more about following, you know, measurements. Otherwise, you know, your pie crust will not be flaky. Your cake will not rise. But I think it's like, I think that there are many kids who really like that precision. They like the idea of measuring and mixing. They love the sort of transformative aspect of baking. You put something in as batter, it comes out as this beautiful, fluffy, sweet cake.
Not to mention, you know, like all the fun with yeast, right? You can have with yeast.
Yes.
And, yeah. Bread baking and et cetera, et cetera.
So what I'll say is like different types of cooking and baking like scratch different kinds of itches. And I think that maybe you'll see, oh, your kid loves to bake. My husband was baking chocolate cakes by the time he was five. He loved the precision of it all. But, you know, someone like me, I was much more chaotic in the kitchen. I just wanted to add every spice in the cabinet and see what things tasted like. And I think I'll be curious to see which kinds of recipes kids gravitate towards, because there's something for everyone in the book.
If there's a kid out there who's ready to take the plunge and ask, you know, someone to join them in the kitchen to make one of your recipes, if you could say one thing to them, what would it be?
Start with the country that you're least familiar with the cuisine. Start with your least familiar and find a recipe that looks delicious to you. There's nothing more exciting to me than eating like a dish for the first time, like experiencing a flavor for the first time, something that was so unfamiliar to you and maybe becomes one of your new favorites.
Well, and maybe don't be scared of stuff going wrong. You know, I think there's a lot of fear of like, I don't know if I can make that. And what if it tastes bad? And what if it doesn't turn out? What do you say to that?
This is all part of the process. You know, some of your dishes are going to be the best thing you ever made. Some of them might need a little bit of, you know, zhuzhing. Very few dishes are beyond saving. You know, a lot of the times you can add a little salt, add a little lime juice, you know, you can make tweaks to make something delicious. So if you feel like you've messed up, all is not lost. There are fixes. And if it still doesn't turn out, just know that you just learned a lesson and you'll be better next time.
That's right. New York Times food reporter and cookbook author Priya Krishna. We've been talking with Priya about Priya's Kitchen Adventures, a cookbook for kids. It's out tomorrow. Priya, thank you so much.
Thank you.